Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and understanding the prophecies of the end time. Everyone wants to know, Lord, when are you going to come back? Well, Jesus said, if I go, I will come again. But the question for 2,000 years has been, when? What events will take place? How is it going to happen? And every time there's a war, like World War I, people got all excited. Well, Jesus is going to return really soon. Matter of fact, some people said, well, he's going to return in 1918. Another said he's going to return in 1947. Others said, no, it's 1975. Others said, no, it's 88. Then a man who wrote that book said, well, I made a mistake. It's 89. Then someone else said, 93. Another man said, 97. Several people have come along and said, I'm one of the two witnesses. As a matter of fact, one man said, I'm one of the two witnesses, and this certain other man is going to be resurrected from the dead on such a date, and we will be the two witnesses together. Wonder, won't that be wonderful? Never happened. So he said, well, I've got to do the work of both the two witnesses. And someone gave a correct answer for it. Now, how's that going to happen? He talks out of both sides of his mouth. He can be the two witnesses. Now, the two witnesses is another subject, but trust the Bible and trust what God says. He's going to raise them up. No man is going to appoint himself to it. Now, several years ago, one man said, I'm one of the two witnesses, and I'll tell you who the other two witness. The second witness is going to be here pretty quick. So later he says, it's my wife. All right. Now he's got a heap of trouble. Because if you're one of the two witnesses, or both of them, you have a time limit. Revelation 11 says, 1,260 days. That's it. Let's see, that happened several years ago, so the clock is running. And what is he going to do when the 1,260th day arrives and the resurrection has not taken place? That's why Christ said, don't believe them. Don't go after them. You have to rightly divide the word and put it together. Now let's come back here to Matthew 24, and let's pick it up right where we left off. And we'll talk about the proper division of the 3.5 years and how it fits into the time frame of the prophecies in Revelation and the book of Hosea. Now, we have covered a little bit of this before, but I think it's good that we will review it so we will get it in our mind exactly what is going to happen, see? Because first God punishes Israel and Judah, and that begins the great tribulation. But the tribulation against Judah and Israel is going to end at approximately 2 years. And we'll see the scriptures which point that out. So that ties in with verse 29 of Matthew 24. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. When will that take place? And what will happen when it does take place? Let's read it. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. What is the sign of the Son of Man in heaven? He gave it to us, verse 27. For as the light of day which comes forth from the east and shines as far as the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And they will see that sign. It will look like a new sun. Now, when that new sun appears along with the other one, since days start and end at sunset, how do you figure the beginning and the ending of a day? Time will be all mixed up at that time, and only God the Father will know when the time will be. So even though, as we've already covered, Paul said, we know the times and seasons based on the outline and framework of the holy days, those times and seasons that we know are not the ones that are reserved for the Father. The ones that are reserved for the Father are when these events happen, and no one can tell day or night, and we'll see that in a little bit. Now notice what's going to happen. Everything on earth is all of a sudden, when the sign of the Son of Man appears in heaven, you would think that everyone's going to say, oh, Christ is returning. Wonderful. Let's all lay down our arms. Let's all quit fighting. Let's all fall to our knees, raise our arms to heaven and say, oh, Lord, save us. Not going to happen that way. Let's read it. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They're going to be mad. They're going to be angry. And they shall see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, Jesus said, every eye shall see me. Now, let's come back to the word immediately after the tribulation of those days. Which days and what part of the tribulation? Well, since it begins with Judah and Israel, let's find out the prophecy that tells us how long that tribulation will be against them. And when does it end? And what takes place when it ends? And what about the rest of the 3.5 years then? What's going to happen then? Let's come back here to the book of Hosea, the prophet Hosea, because he talks about this time, and he talks about when it's going to be and how the time frame that will be specifically against Ephraim, which then represents the 10 tribes of Israel, and then also against Judah, which represents the Jews. Because the tribulation begins against all the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, if you don't understand where the lost 10 tribes are, they have been found a long time ago. But the Jews really don't want people to know that they have been found, because they benefit so greatly by saying, well, the 10 tribes were absorbed into the Gentiles, and now all the promises belong to us. Not so. You're one tribe, along with part of Benjamin and some of the Levites. The other 10 tribes, they're the ones who received the birthright promise. We have right online for you Judah Scepter, Joseph Birthright. And if you want a tremendous and really interesting reading about the true history of what happened to the 10 tribes of Israel, you read that book, and that will open your mind as to what is happening from a historical perspective to Britain and America and Australia and Canada. And why is it that for the past 500 years, the Anglo-Saxons have ruled the world? They're not going to rule the world apart from God. Was it prophesied to take place? Well, you read that book. That knowledge has been out there for a long time. And if that seems like new knowledge to you, and you've been faithful going to a Sunday-keeping church, why haven't your ministers told you that? Why do we live in the greatest nation that has ever been? Why did Britain have the world's greatest empire? Because it was promised to the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 tribes of the children of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Now let's come back here to Hosea, the fifth chapter. Let's see what's going to happen to them. They will have a tribulation of 2 years, and we will see it defined right here in Hosea 5 and Hosea 6. Then we can take that 2-year time period and we can apply it to the events that happen in Revelation, the 6th chapter. And in Revelation 7 tells us when God relieves the tribulation against the 12 tribes of Israel. So let's read it right here. Verse 9, Ephraim, the head of the 10 tribes. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke among the tribes of Israel, all 12 tribes, not just some, but all. I have made known that which will surely be. That's what's happening right now. He has made it known. Not only did he tell it to them before they went into captivity in 721 to 718 B.C. for the northern 10 tribes, and in 603 to 586 B.C. in the southern kingdom of Judah, which had Benjamin and Levites with them. Now, verse 12. The rulers of Judah were like those who move a border. I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. That's God's tribulation upon them, you see. Ephraim is crushed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after vanity. Couldn't be a better description of the United Kingdom today. Silliness rules in Britain. Verse 12, therefore I am a moth to Ephraim and to the house of Judah as rottenness. What's going to happen to the Jews there in Jerusalem and Palestine? Because all the prophecies of the end time circulate around Jerusalem. And that's where Christ is going to come in his second coming, right over Jerusalem. So let's go on. And when Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, Ephraim went to the Assyrian and sent to King Contentious. Now, what is King Contentious? That's the beast of Revelation 13 and 17. The one who makes the covenant for 7 years, and then in the midst of the covenant, he breaks the covenant and stops the sacrifice. Continuing now, yet he could not heal you nor cure you of your wound, for I will be to Ephraim as a lion and as a strong lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away, I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go. I will return to my place until they confess their guilt and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me earnestly. Isn't that true? Don't we always say in our trouble, oh, God help us. God bless America. God save the king. God save the queen. Hail Britannica. Why? Because we've had the word of God. We know of God as nations, but we don't know God as converted individuals. So God is going to deal them. Now, when they come to their senses, when will they come to their senses? Let's read it, and it gives us a time frame right here in Hosea 6 and verse 1. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he is torn. He will heal us. He is smitten, and he will bind us up. Now, notice verse 2 carefully, and remember that a day in prophecy is a year. And here's where we get 2 years tribulation against the 12 tribes of Israel. And immediately after that tribulation against them, the sign of the Son of Man appears in heaven. All right, let's read it. Verse 2. After 2 days he will revive us, and in the third day, in other words, in the third year. Now, out of 3.5 years of great tribulation, when 2 years have expired, how much time is left? A year and a half, approximately. Because it says, in the third day, that is the third year, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. When is he going to raise them up? How is that going to happen? What is going to be the catalyst that will cause the 12 tribes to repent and to seek God? And then we'll have to answer the question, what's going to happen for the remaining year and a half? Now let's come to Revelation, the 6th chapter. And we will see how these two things come together. The 2 years of the tribulation against Israel and the reviving of them and the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. How those fit together. Now, it's interesting. The book of Revelation, in the proper division of the Bible, is the 7th division of the Bible, and it's only one book. Why is that so? Nowhere in all the Bible is a single book a division of the Bible, except the book of Revelation. Why? Because the book of Revelation needs all the rest of the Bible to give the substance and its supposedly symbolic language if you don't know the rest of the Bible. Now, one man asked me and said, well, how come you take these events as literally events in the book of Revelation when it's written in symbolic language? And I said, well, it's simple. When you understand the rest of the Bible and how it applies to the book of Revelation, then the symbolic language is fleshed out with the reality of the events. Let's come to Revelation 7. Then we will back up to Revelation 6. After all the things that take place in Revelation 6, now let's begin here in Revelation 7. So we're coming right into the middle of something, but this is going to show when God raises up Israel from its tribulation after 2 years. And we'll also answer the question, who are the 144,000? Some churches said, well, Jehovah's Witness used to say, well, we're the 144,000. Well, when their attendance got over 144,000, then they were stuck with a problem. But as we're going to see, Revelation 7 identifies who the 144,000 really are. And they are of the 12 tribes of Israel, not a church. So let's read it. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding back the winds of the earth, so that the wind might not blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to damage the earth and the sea, saying, so here, right in the middle of the tribulation going on, something happens. A dead calm. And then a spectacular event happens to the children of Israel. And this angel said, do not damage the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000. Then it tells us who they are. And this helps answers the question, when does the tribulation against Israel end? And here we find that it ends, according to Hosea, after 2 years. So let's read how God intervenes to the 12 tribes of Israel. 144,000 sealed out of every tribe of the children of Israel. That's who the 144,000 are. Now notice the next verse, because this also becomes very important, because in Zechariah the 12th chapter, God promises that he would save the tents of Judah first. Now God is going to deal with the Jews. Now you need our book, Judaism revelation of Moses or a religion of men, and you will see how we bring out the prophecies that in spite of all the sins of the Jews and all of the falsity of their religion and all of the things that they claim to be the book of Moses and are not, but are their own traditions which deny God, which deny Jesus Christ, that is going to come to an end at this point when God intervenes. He's going to save the tribes of Judah first. Now notice, verse 5, Revelation 7. And from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Does God keep his word or not? Yes. God always keeps his word. God's word is true. God's word is pure. God's word is righteous. God's word is holy. And not one tittle is going to fall or drop away or be done away or abolished. Now let's go on. Tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. Tribe of Asher, 12,000. Tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. Tribe of Simeon, 12,000. The tribe of Levi, 12,000. The tribe of Issachar, 12,000. The tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. And the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. And the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. All 12 tribes. This is when the tribulation against Israel ends, beginning with the sealing of the 144,000. Now, the events that lead to that, as we will see here in just a minute out of Revelation 6, are also going to be so fantastic. And the sign of the Son of Man appearing in heaven as a great new sun never before seen is going to affect the whole earth, and there will be a great innumerable multitude from every nation and language and kindred and tongues who are going to repent. So that's going to be an amazing thing when it happens. This is a worldwide event. This is going to be the most spectacular thing that has ever happened, and will prove to anyone who believes in a secret rapture beyond any shadow of doubt the return of Christ is not going to be secret. You are not going to hear a little whisper in your ear and you're raptured up to meet Christ in the air. That will never happen. So this is something. This is going to be spectacular. So when we're done with this, we'll also go on through other scriptures to carry us down to the literal return of Christ on the earth. As Jesus said, there will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And we will see how that identifies with Revelation 6. Now, we are headed for some difficult time. As a nation in the United States of America and as the world in general, we're headed for financial difficulties. Severe. So I want you to go to cbcg.org and I want you to download Aftershock, the financial meltdown. I did two sermons on that. You need to know what is going to happen. And a lot of people are going to think, oh, that's when the tribulation begins. No, the tribulation cannot begin until there is the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. The financial collapse of the entire worldwide banking system is going to lead to a world government. And that will be the organization of the governments of the beast power in Revelation 13 and Revelation 17. So there's a lot to happen in prophecy. So we need to understand that Christ isn't going to return when those events begin. There's going to have to be a key event. The king of the north is going to come against the king of the south after the king of the south pushes at him. And we will see how that fits into Revelation, the 6th chapter. So I hope you've been following along in the Bible. I hope that you're beginning to understand the Bible. I hope that you are using Church at Home to learn about the Word of God, to develop a relationship with God through prayer and study right in your own home. There you can have the time. There you can turn off the distractions of the world, and you can concentrate on the Word of God. Vitally important for us to do so, living in the end times. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.